Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Captain Jerry Hendricks, U.S. Navy retired aviator, Sagamore Institute. We're speaking to the ability of the U.S. Navy to project power and maintain the sea lanes, in particular the very enclosed space of the Red Sea, from harassment and damage by the Houthi group militants supplied by Iran. The question, however, is how long can this be sustained and what does the future look like? The U.S. Navy right now is the marshal on the planet. And this speaks to the industrial strategy, a new document from the Department of Defense, the National Defense Industrial Strategy. And Jerry, Admiral Stavridis speaks very well of this document. You and I have not exchanged thoughts on it. You've been speaking carefully for a long time about the industrial base. Is the DOD now ready to put money into it and to develop what we need to generate the fleet that we need for the future?
Well, John, I think that we have to characterize this document as honestly as you can. The DOD has begun to pay attention to its industrial base in depth and in breadth. They've begun to effectively do an inventory on what's available in the industrial base across the United States and even looking at our close allies and partners, and then finding how deep that industrial base is, how many shifts are being operated by individual factories that make key components associated with us. So having that list is an important first step, but ultimately it will not be the Department of Defense that decides to expand the industrial base. It will be the administration in cooperation with the Congress to actually begin to put money against that. Now, what I will say is that in the past several years, and I think going back probably 4 or 5 years, Department of Defense officials from both parties have gone up to Capitol Hill, and Capitol Hill has asked, are you getting everything that you need? And this has been a point of bipartisan concern and consensus. And I will say, like, Representative Joe Courtney and former Representative Elaine Loria for the Democrats, Representative Gallagher, Representative Whitcomb of the Republicans have been asking these hard questions of the Navy in particular that I've been paying a lot of attention to. And the administrations, both Republican and Democrat, have effectively said, yes, we have. Well, now suddenly we realize because of what's going on with Ukraine and now with Israel, as we've drawn down some vital stocks and supplies of key components and missiles, is that really that industrial base is not fully supported enough to be able to ramp up and give us back those weapons that we have offered up to our allies and partners in their time of need. And so I expect this year's budget, and it's an election year, which means it's going to be rather interesting conversations, where we'll be asking exactly how much money do we need. And so we'll look to the Congress to lean in to actually appropriate the dollars to be able to really ramp up this industrial base. We now know what the base is. Now we know where we can spend money and get additional capacity. Now the question is whether we will ask for that money and then receive that money. Those are the key challenges of the next year.
The strategic priorities include supply chain readiness, acquisition, and deterrence. The one I'm keen on is workforce readiness, because we've talked over the years, Jerry, that there are not enough welders for the Navy. There are not enough people to man the shipyards. Can that be addressed as easily as, say, funding machine tools? Can you find and train people that quickly to respond to what is needed?
Yes and no. Yes, you can find people. And John, you and I have talked about this in the past. One of the issues that we're facing now is that Americans are not as mobile as they once were. They are not as willing, let's just say, as my grandparents were, to pick up and move from Missouri to California during the end of the Great Depression, because that's where the jobs were. Most Americans are staying closer to home. They are not moving. And if they do move, within a few years, they're moving back. And so industry has begun to recognize, for instance, on welders, the point you just made, there's a huge demand for welders, both with surface shipbuilding and submarine construction. So at this point in time, rather than continue to try and convince welders to move to one of these locations where we're building these ships and submarines, we are actually trying to distribute the welding outward to smaller factories spread out across the country, where there perhaps is sufficient blue-collar workforce and trained welders or people who are interested in pursuing careers as welders. And we are setting up those factories there, having them bring the components together, and then putting those components either on rail cars or on barges, and then shipping those completed components to those shipyards for final assembly. So rather than continue to try and fight the fight and lose of getting welders to move to Connecticut or Wisconsin or San Diego, California, we're trying to actually move the jobs to the welders, have them assemble closer to their homes, and then find a way of transporting those final materials.
Fincantieri, the Italian shipbuilder, is building ships for the U.S. Navy here in the United States. Is it incorrect to say that building ships overseas would be forbidden, or is that a practical solution? We have allies with shipyards.
We have allies with shipyards, but by law, U.S. ships for the United States Navy must be built and bought here in the United States. That is a bylaw. It's a national security issue where we want to maintain sufficient capacity that in a time of war, that to be able to ramp up and build ships for ourselves here in the United States. So that's a law that's been in effect for a couple decades now. I can tell you that there are allies and partners who have really great advanced shipyards overseas. You mentioned Fincantieri, who's got shipyards in Italy that have excess capacity there for building ships. There's also companies like Hyundai Heavy Industries in South Korea that build more ships in the Western world, only exceeded by China, that would love to be able to bid and build Navy shipping in those shipyards. But by law, those ships, U.S. Navy frigates, and destroyers, cruisers, they must be built in the United States by U.S. workers.
Is there a conversation in Congress? Congress proposes, Congress disposes. To get to 350 ships is going to take a full effort by everyone. And so building a ship in South Korea, what can go wrong? You've got security in South Korea. That's a military ally. We trust them.
John, I can say that there is a conversation going on. What I cannot say with confidence is how many voices are involved in that conversation. I know that many of these companies are coming and saying, hey, if you really want more capacity, you know, we have this capacity in our home shipyards and we would love to do this. By the way, historically, some of the first steel ships built for the United States Navy back in the 1880s, 1890s, many of their major components were built overseas and then brought here for final assembly. We've had these types of relationships in the past, where we've worked with other countries to develop and refine and advance our own naval architecture. So there's historical precedent for this. But right now, if you look at sort of the leadership on Capitol Hill, many of the leaders on in the Senate and the House who are involved with the Sea Power subcommittees, for instance, who are the authorizers, they come from shipbuilding states and districts who want to make sure that we are investing in the yards that we have here in the United States, growing them and strengthening them. But coming back to a point that we were just talking about, John, in a lot of these places, they're having difficulty finding more workers. And so that's where a lot of the pressure is as well. If you can't find the workers to grow capacity, maybe we should look elsewhere.
Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy retired aviator, making it very clear that the Navy is handling the mission that it now has in the Red Sea to protect 20% of the global shipping. However, for the future, the Navy needs more of everything, everywhere. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.